Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard to this week's edition of Thought Crime. Today, myself, Charlie Kirk, and the gang discuss Fannie Willis. What can I say? We're going to get into it next. Idaho issuing a death penalty for pedophiles. How Glee was the plague ship of wokeness and identity politics. And groceries in Russia versus groceries in the United States. Price, economics, and nutrition. You won't want to miss this. So get ready for this week's installment of Thought Crime.
From the age of Big Brother.
If they want to get you, they'll get you. The NSA specifically targets the communications of everyone. They're collecting your communications.
Okay, everybody, if there was ever a day that was made for this program, it is today, February 15th, year of our Lord, 2024. We have Blake Neff.
Hello.
Master historian, Tyler Boyer, ballot chaser extraordinaire.
Happy to be here, Charlie.
And Jack Posobiec, who's on Lent, and he gave up being cruel for Lent. Is that right?
I gave up being cruel online to people. So I have to be nice to everyone online for 40 days until Easter Sunday. And so this, of course, includes all podcasts, all on-air content. So that includes anyone we talk about, all the co-hosts. I have to be nice. I cannot.
He has to be sweet. Tyler said one of the funniest things in the chat. He said, it feels as if 2020 will never end. All of this is just this overflow. Right, Blake? This is not the topic for today, but it is an interesting thing. It's the never-ending. It's been this nonstop connective thread from like February of 2020 till today. It just hasn't stopped.
It's like the old, I remember the joke where it's like, I've been alive for four decades, you know, the 90s, the zeros, the 10s, and March.
Yeah, no, that's, it just hasn't stopped. It's been one nonstop thing. So in this next chapter in saga, I feel as if this is, you know, what, season 28 of Donald Trump being the luckiest man alive.
It is truly unbelievable.
No, it is season 28 of just, if I were to make it the Netflix special, just called The Lucky Man.
Yeah.
Right? Know, it's just a picture with him, a thumbs up and a MAGA hat, because this is one of the more lucky developments in the history of the civilization.
I feel like Donald Trump personally disproves the concept of entropy, you know, that physics thing, you know, the world advances towards greater simplicity, because Donald Trump completely defies all
that. That's right.
That.
So, Blake, for those of the uninitiated that haven't turned on their television all day, what happened in Fulton County?
Yeah, I assume those people must have given up TV for Lent or something. I don't know why they're watching this show, if so. But so Fulton County, the left staked a lot of hopes on this one. It was the one I feel like they got the most personal satisfaction
from.
Like
the weird thrill.
Yeah, they really liked the idea that Fulton County, which symbolized the most shocking development of that evening, that Georgia was able to flip blue.
Yes.
All of these things.
And then Stacey Abrams.
Trump complained about it, and then he was repudiated. And now Fannie Willis, the DA of Fulton County, where Atlanta is, was going to criminally charge Trump for his election interference of trying to call members of the state legislature. The indictment was incredible. It was literally criminalizing him that he called lawmakers and said that they should go to a special session. I think part of the criminal indictment was that he encouraged people to tune into the television, I believe. There was all sorts of wild stuff.
It was very strange.
And so she's going to indict Trump for all these bad things they did and a million co-conspirators. There's 18 or 19 people involved. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, we get this filing from one of Trump's co-defendants. And this filing says, hey, you know, Fannie Willis, you've kind of done some bad stuff. And it kind of seems like a Hail Mary. Seems really wild. Okay,
yeah, because for just to interject, people do these motions all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
As
for
Hail
sure.
Marys, right? You know, bail me out, half court shot, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It just so happens.
And it seemed there wasn't a lot of proof in it initially. I remember it popping up. And
you were a little skeptical.
Yeah, I was like, well, there's not, you know, they don't have the receipts in here. This is a pretty aggressive allegation to make, but it's definitely, there's like, not proof in the filing.
They couldn't be this stupid.
They couldn't be this stupid is the thinking. And well, they were. They were that stupid, it seems. And we
corrupt
got
corrupt and just craven.
Yeah.
And just awful.
And, you know, I hope, I would say something about, you know, giving up porn for Lent or something, because it was a very kind of pornographic display today.
It was very graphic. And by the way, Nathan Wade was the one that was inviting.
Very titillating.
Yeah, he was the one that was inviting the sexual conversation.
You guys are trying to get me to he was, do something Jack, right now. Jack, I'm not going to do that.
Keep fasting, Jack. And so it was, at one point, the cross-examiner asked Nathan Wade, well, did you have a relationship? And Nathan Wade said, do you mean did I have sexual intercourse with him? I'm like, okay, bro, like, here we go. And then we're getting into this idea of, well, it matters what the definition of is. And, like, we're almost there, right, Blake? We're almost at, like, was there touching? Was there rubbing? I mean, it's really
in the manner
graphic.
Did you ever have flesh touch with Miss Fanny's flesh?
That's where we're at, right? And so... there's so many. We got to play some of these people. Can we play the cabin? Sure. The cabin one.
Cabin.
Is the
yeah.
Best.
What's the cabin one here?
So the cabin one is.
Yes. Let's play a clip. 106.
For the record, this is one of the greatest pieces of tape in the history of politics.
You remember booking a cabin?
Here we go.
I booked lots of cabins. Did
you go to a cabin with Miss Willis ever?
You booked up.
Ever.
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 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, 6-1000, 7-1000, 8-1000, 9-1000, 2-1000,
11-1000, 12-1000, 13-1000. Nice tie. What is Taylor? Great Taylor that he...
Look how well fitting his suit is.
21 seconds! That went 21 seconds!
He's wearing froze. Right there. It's
no, he didn't freeze. Here's what he was doing. He said, "I brought a lot of women to cabins." Was that Fanny?
Can I go to prison for this?
Was that a woman with a big Fanny?
It's like Giannis trying to take a free throw.
And it's like, which answer is more jail? Like, if he tells the truth,
no,
he
that's
says
exactly
yes,
right.
Or if he lies and says no, and it was truly, truly astonishing, and just every layer of it, like. You know, maybe they'll somehow get away with it, but it seems like they thought, okay, our best calculated strategy here is to say, yes, we were in a relationship. Yes, we spent time together. Yes, we went on vacation together. Yes, I paid for it with my business card that goes to my firm, which is being paid by the taxpayers of Fulton County, but she reimbursed me. And how did she reimburse me? All in cash.
This is where it gets really interesting, right? Because they thought they could get away with a lie. It's obvious, right? They thought that there's no reimbursement. I mean, it's so obvious. So then they start drilling down. Well, where'd you get the cash from? And Jack, are you allowed to contribute to this, or are you just a bystander at this point?
I can comment on whether or not it was good testimony, right? Like just because I have to be like, just because I can't be mean about it, I can certainly give analysis.
He's
right?
Gonna go one.
Am I analysis? And the analysis, no, I can make this. All right, I can do this. This testimony was not good.
No,
this
bueno.
Was definitely not the type of testimony that you would expect from people who are not only currently like prosecutors, people that are prosecuting, and not just like take Trump out of it, right? Just prosecuting any criminal at all. Like, these are not the people that you want to have that power in your society, because as you say, they don't seem like, and Wade, and we haven't even gotten to Willis' testimony yet, but it just doesn't seem like they prepared. It doesn't seem like they went over any of the possible questions that they would be asked. It doesn't feel like they read the brief, or even Blake, to your point, it doesn't feel like they read any of the accusations that came out of Mike Roman's testimony, the great Mike Roman, or by the way, this guy Wade is being divorced right now. And so a lot of this is actually a function of the divorce hearings, because as you say, the receipts weren't in Roman's testimony, but then like 2 days later, we're in like very much, I can't say it, a reality show scenario, let's just say, of Fulton County. And so the divorce court is where we get those receipts. And so it's like, has this guy even been paying attention to the, I question whether he has been paying attention to the proceedings to which he is a party.
Yeah. And Jay, Blake, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's just, I had the thought earlier. It is just truly stupendous that they have built up this massive monolith.
She
to
was
destroy
supposed
Trump.
To be the one.
Yeah, they had the headline. We showed the headline. Miss Magazine. This is, they're like, it's so fitting that she's going to lead the charge. And then it specifically is blowing up because of her. Not even it incidentally is failing, but she's doing it. She screwed it up. And in such a comical way, like just the most, oh, we got a free piggy bank from the taxpayers. Oh, I'll hire my boyfriend and we can give him all of this money and he can bill 24 hours a day. Why not? We'll just bill 24 hours a day. And, you know, money everywhere. And then we're going to fly to Belize and we're going to go to that tattoo parlor and we're going to go to that massage place.
Oh, and Aruba.
Aruba.
Play cut 105.
Recently retired and I decided to take my mother on a cruise.
Okay.
And the second leg after the cruise concluded, D.A. Willis and I went to Aruba. So that was all one trip, if you will.
Okay.
Now, we would play the Beach Boys song, but we're not allowed to.
We can, like, sing it. You
Aruba.
Know, like, Bermuda, Bahama, oh, my
I thought we
could
play
mama.
It if we comment on it.
I don't know. The rules are all
whatever.
Screwed up.
Haters going to hate, man.
Are the Beach Boys still... I think they're still alive.
Didn't their copyright expire by now?
Sadly, I think all copyrights are active while the original creator is alive. And there are allegedly still Beach Boys who are alive.
We like the Beach Boys. A lot of those guys are still conservative, I think.
So where is this going to end? I mean, and by the way, CNN is doing their best. They say this on the front page of CNN. They say highlights from Fannie Willis's fiery testimony.
Fiery.
It was
okay.
Mostly peaceful.
It was fiery in the sense that this project they built up is burning down very quickly.
Oh, by the way, if you dare criticize Fannie Willis having tons of cash at home, you're a racist.
What's
like play cut 133?
I thought her portrayal of why it is that she pays for things in cash and has lots of cash on hand was very compelling. Basically, it was a life lesson she learned from her father and then sort of joked about the way that she was raised by that old black man, as she referred to it.
Yeah.
Basically, it's black culture is what Fannie Willis's defense is.
It's like so depressing. And she did that in the church.
And MSNBC is just buying that.
And she did that, you know, she stood up in that church and said, you know, these people attacking me. I think she was still denying the relationship. She was either denying it or that was when she admitted it. But she said, you know, all the attacks were based on race there. And of course, that's part of what's so upsetting about this is you do your personal bad behavior and you're just going to drag everyone in your culture with you down with it. It's disgusting to do that.
That was Michael Vick's defense with the dogfighting.
Yeah.
Was that he had a bunch of cash around the house to go pay people for pit bulls?
You don't remember this? No, his defense for Michael Vick's defense for dogfighting was that this is part of black culture. And he was like, and it was just strange because he was the one saying that it was that he was the one trying to racialize it when it clearly was something that he had been, criticized by a lot of other teammates who also happen to be black. So it was like, no, why are you trying to play the race card to get out of your own bad behavior? That's all I'm saying.
Let's play Fannie. By the way, there's a little disagreement of when the relationship ended. Is it still ongoing? Play cut 124.
She asked about a personal relationship.
She asked when the romantic relationship ended. That's the question.
Sometime in, I'd say late summer of 2023. So I don't believe me and, this is what you're really asking about. This is the salaciousness of all of this, right?
No, I'm just asking about your romantic relationship. When you stopped dating.
I think that me and Mr. Wade, so he's a man. He probably would say June or July. I would say we had a tough conversation in August.
Wait, hold on. Did she say because he's a man? Is that what she said?
She said because he's a man.
He's a man.
She defended his.
He's virile.
She defended his manhood many times, but then called out his manhood for cutting the relationship early.
Do we have the clip, the we broke bread? Do we have that clip? That one's going really viral.
Let's play let's play cut 118. We'll get that one.
Okay.
As of May the 30th, 2023,
You had done a lot, or you had done a lot of entertaining of Miss Willis, had you not?
I had done some, yes.
And in fact, under your testimony, you would have said that she had also entertained you. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
She's not your spouse at that time or at any time, correct?
That's correct.
She's not related to you by blood or marriage, correct?
That's correct.
But she entertained her, right?
Yes.
Totally believable.
Entertained. No, I see no reason to question this. You know,
they've
I see
entertained
none whatsoever.
Us.
No, yeah, I mean, this has been quite entertaining for all of us.
Sorry, continue, Blake.
I think what stands out, you said CNN's trying to cover for it as desperately. I think this really actually captures the difference between two popular punching bags, which is we have CNN and we have MSNBC. And MSNBC is sort of more left-wing than CNN, but they're also more honest than CNN. And so yeah. They actually were having
a
meltdown during. They were having a meltdown during the day. They're like, "She seems to have lied, and if she lied, this is over." And then, but CNN is the more anti-Trump network.
Yes,
they're no, very
yes.
they're psychotic
they're also
about
more
it.
Delusional.
They're
yes.
more delusional, and they do the more insane stuff. You know, they're the ones who have they hate Trump so much that they'll have a guy on and he'll call Don Lemon the N-word on air and stuff to prove that Trump is bad. It was really bizarre. MSNBC doesn't go quite as insane. Let's see, where's the. There's so many clips here.
This is 117. MSNBC, they're beginning the eulogy. Play cut 117.
Legalistic-centric and yet so important and fascinating.
Right. Don't let the legalese fool you. This is epic. This is monumental. If things are going in the direction we think, Fani Willis lied to the court. It's game over for her. She will be disqualified. If they had a relationship prior to when they represented to the court, it's a huge deal. I can't overstate it.
Yeah. So without getting too deep into this, Jack, you could look at basically she's already dead to rights based on just the timeline. Forget the cash and forget the cabins and forget Aruba and forget Belize and forget Jamaica. Just the fact that they have perjured themselves based on the relationship window that signed, sealed and delivered. All the rest is basically entertainment and icing on the cake. Is that correct, Jack?
That's exactly right. So there's lots of viral clips. There's lots of memes that are coming out of this that, of course, I have been receiving and yet will not be sharing because, again, I 40 days, I will be nice. So the real meat and potatoes of this, though, is the fact that she lied to the court in not in this hearing, but in a previous filing when she stated there was no relationship prior to his hire at the using her power as the Fulton County DA. So essentially when she brought him on for this Trump case, she said there was no relationship prior to this. And now we have documentary evidence that there was a relationship prior. And I think everyone kind of has suspected that anyway.
Yeah, let's put number 99 on screen while he's,
yes,
while
keep
he's
going,
talking
Jack, put that up. Yep. Keep going, Jack.
Okay, yeah. So right. So she and this is I believe the actual questionnaire from earlier. But yeah, she lied to court. So when you make a direct lie to the judge like this that there was no relationship, then that's it. No household expenses, no cohabitating, and Charlie, to your point, this is why there was so much quibbling and so much consternation about, well, and if people had watched I gotta say, I was in and out of this hearing because I was doing other stuff today because I have a life outside of this, but and it went on for quite some time. And there was a lot of back and forth over what does the phrase cohabitating live, what does or mean, what does the phrase stay? Well, he was staying with me. Well, how long is staying? How long do you have to stay with someone so that to be cohabitating? And just, I mean, you just lied. You just straight up lied to the court. And I don't think that any judge or any, you know, fancy word games are going to wake their way out of it. You can't trick your way past the judge that you know
and,
you like.
And I will say just, and I watched probably 1/10 of this. What I saw from the judge is the judge was actually sympathetic to the cross-examiners. There was one moment where the cross-examiner used imprecise language that was obviously a little bit, you know, let's just say more colorful. He used the word scamper. He's like, oh, did you go down and scamper to the ATM? And the judge allowed it. And like, that's unusual, right? Like, usually the judge is like, nope, rephrase, you know, did you go down to the... And the judge was continually very sympathetic to this line of questioning.
I think it helps that they're only speaking to the judge in the first place. And this isn't a jury trial yet. It's just a hearing. The judge will have to decide on himself. So I believe,
do we want to make a prediction on this? I mean, the judge does not seem as if sometimes a judge will do a motion like this and he could have just cut it off. Like, I've heard enough. She's fine. He let this thing really bleed. I mean,
almost
as if he's setting the table to justify his dismissal of the prosecution.
Again, if they dismiss Fanny, it doesn't mean the prosecution is over. It's enormously damaging to its credibility, but they could transfer the case to another DA's office. They could just redomicile it to a neighboring county, or, you know, bring in a special counsel
That takes a lot of time,
non-boyfriend
though,
special.
Right?
It would basically delay this past the election, almost certainly.
Yeah, they have to get caught up to speed, right? Mm-hmm.
And not to mention all the other counties are not going to be as
sympathetic.
Judicious.
And
in
you'd quite plausibly need to flush the entire staff. So they'd need months just to get up to speed on the evidence. This would allow him to challenge that it should be dropped because of all these improprieties. It would muck the case
up
for political
reasons. Let me ask you a question.
Reasons.
For someone who has already pled guilty, like Jenna Ellis, is she able to reconsider that guilty plea if the prosecutor's taken off the case?
Truthfully, I don't know.
Jack, do you have any
idea? It would depend on the specifics of the deal. It's not impossible, but again, it would have to go, you know, was that written into the deal? Was that something that was agreed to? Was that something that, you know, a good lawyer, by the way, would have put in some clauses like that, for example, or be able to find a way to get around it. But it's going to be tough. Right, it's going to be tough, and it wasn't just her, but there were other people who took plea deals.
No,
as well.
I hope so.
Charlie, of course, none of this should have been brought in the first place.
No, it's an outrage.
This was obviously corrupt, and I think that their pre-existing relationship. And I've tweeted this, and I said, and again, just because I said I can't be mean doesn't mean I can't be truthful. I will be truthful, and it seems to me that this entire case was brought because she was looking at a way to get her own piggy bank out of this, that she would be able to charge. The more people she charged, the more money she would be able to requisition, make special allocations from the state government, which, by the way, if you go back to Mike Roman's original allegations on this, that there was a pot of COVID money, which, by the way, would be federal funds. So, Chris Ray, where you at, buddy? That the more people she charged, the bigger pot of money there would be, and potentially, it sounds like, the bigger kickback she would be able to receive from it. That's what I get out of this hearing.
So I just want to say I have a soft spot, and there was a lot of people attacking those that pled guilty already. I have a soft spot for people that don't have a lot of money, and they're up against these prosecutors, and I just don't like it. I do hope that there's an opportunity for some of these people to get out of these plea deals.
Yeah.
And it's so glaring that our entire system does rely upon essentially imposing a calculation on people of, should I plead guilty even if I truthfully believe I am innocent?
No, this
because,
is what's sick.
Yeah.
The factoring in is not the innocence. The factoring in is, you know, I'll get community service versus 10 years in jail.
Yeah, well, the penalty, the cost of the trial itself.
And this is the reason why her entire office has to be disqualified, right?
Yes.
This is why the message to conservatives, everybody's watching this and go, well, what can I do? What can I say? I was talking to Josh McCoon, who's the chairman of the Georgia GOP
today.
Great guy.
Really great.
He was texting me and took time out of his day to message me and ask for help, actually. And so this is the message, is that her entire office should be and needs to be disqualified, because if her entire office is not, then there certainly is no way for those people to reverse out of those plea deals, right? And so I don't know all the ins and outs, and somebody that's a much more in tune and somebody has a JD could probably actually tell us, but my understanding would be is probably if they threw the whole thing out and transferred it to a different county, then that would start the whole process over again.
Yeah, and even
that county would have to relook at everybody
if the crime didn't commit in their county, wouldn't there be jurisdictional issues?
Well, that's the point, is because she has cost herself a problem here, then another county would have to take over, but the other county can make the decision
to just drop the
charges, whole thing, which now that's not the way they wanted this whole thing to go. Obviously they wanted this to be in Fulton for a reason.
Yeah.
Because Fulton's their only hope in the state of Georgia that this would ever have legs. And that's their problem in Arizona is, you know, is Maricopa County going to do this, you know, to people in Maricopa County? Probably not. You know, they weren't even willing to do it in Wisconsin. So they came up with like a broker deal. You've got the state going after people in Michigan, but a lot of these counties don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
And so this was their only, this was their, you want to talk about that Hail Mary. This was their Hail Mary, but we need to make sure as conservatives that we're putting the pressure on saying that, you know, this has to be released. Her whole office has to be removed from this.
What we have next is we have an interesting story out of the state of Idaho.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yes. And so we just saw this in the discussion. We thought it'd be fun to talk about. So the Idaho House has just approved House Bill 515. Hasn't become law yet, but it's advancing. And what the bill would do is it would impose the death penalty as a potential penalty in cases of lewd conduct with children under the age of 12 with aggravating circumstances. So aggravated child sexual abuse could be a capital offense in the state of Idaho if they pass this. Now, for the time being, this would not be constitutional because the Supreme Court in a past more liberal time, they banned that. I think Louisiana had that in its laws,
mm-hmm.
but new Supreme Court, take another shot at it. And so the discussion would be, do we support this, number one? And two, do we support it for anything else?
100%. I mean, now I want to be clear. My death penalty views have changed over the years. The only reason I'm hesitant on the death penalty, the only reason, and is that sometimes we execute people that were truly innocent. Yeah. It's not as many as you might think. It's probably 40 or 50, right? There's the Innocence Project. That's a real thing. Number two,
not a thing.
It exists, Jack. It exists. We have killed people that have been exonerated later, but it's not as much as they make it seem. But no, it's a real thing. Is it an op?
What?
Is it a Kim Kardashian op?
We have for sure
Kim
killed
Kardashian
people.
Is a big partner of the Innocence Project.
I know. I'm not saying I'm a fan of it, but if you objectively look into some of the case files, it's legit. We have wrongfully executed people before.
Yeah, so DNA evidence has proven that. Like
exactly. Yes, and other witnesses that have come out. Actually, I did it. Here's my DNA. So that's something we have to deal with. Okay, I just want to say that. However, as a Bible believing Christian, I cannot possibly morally disagree with the death penalty. The Catholic Church does, and I think they're totally wrong. It is a law in all five books of the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Yeah. And I've moved on it. I've changed on this. And I think that if you take a life, your life should be taken. And I think if you are a pedophile, it's the same as taking a life. You take the innocence of a child. I think your life should be taken.
I would say if I have a concern, it is probably that specifically child sexual abuse is a crime that we have such a moral revulsion to, that this will sound weird, but we do stuff now like we just go back and we accuse some of stuff that happened 20 years ago and people get convicted of this.
Yeah.
And many of them probably are guilty, but I would worry about us having a death penalty offense where someone could come forward and say, this person sexually abused me 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and there's no meaningful way to
push
defend
back.
Yourself.
Roman Polanski. If he came back to America, should he get the death penalty if he was guilty?
I think his guilt is pretty well established.
Okay,
yeah,
so
for
we
sure.
agree. I mean, but that was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So the time doesn't mean anything.
True. I think that is something where I'd probably make a concession.
Okay.
Maybe we shouldn't allow it.
Just so everyone knows, the Roman Polanski.
Also, he has been convicted, hasn't he? He just fled before penalty, I think.
No, I think you might be right. He's just in France, and they don't extradite their own citizens, got on a plane and left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he raped like a 16-year-old or something.
I think she was younger than that.
Is that right?
She was 13.
It was pretty young.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. If somebody, theoretically, I don't want to get sued, if it came out that Woody Allen was a pedophile, theoretically,
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, no evidence of that.
Why would we pick him specifically? We could pick anyone if it came out that.
Because there was a movie about it.
That's true.
He played a pedophile in the movie.
I didn't see this movie.
If you've seen Annie Hall, it's.
Ooh.
You know, it's not, it's a little bit on the edge, right?
The only thing I know is that movie got Best Picture instead of Star Wars, and nerds are still mad about it to this day.
Yeah. So, anyway,
Angela said it's a biopic in retrospect.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm just saying theoretically, I don't know if that's the case. Why should the time matter, Blake?
It's not so much that the time matters. It's sort of my version of your concern with the innocent.
Sure.
It's that it is a crime that we are hypersensitive to, and I think it is one that is prone to moral frenzies over it. There was a case, I can't remember the name of the person involved, but it was one of the Catholic sex abuse cases. It was in Pennsylvania, and it was a priest, and there were really lurid allegations relating to it. And
we talked about this on the show before, didn't we?
I've talked about it with you for sure. I don't know if we've done it on here. I could even bring up...
I could have sworn it was on here. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know exactly where you're going with this.
Let me see if I can get it on screen.
Newsweek did a great piece on
this. Yes, Newsweek. Yeah. So you guys can bring it up on screen now. This is an article in Newsweek magazine. I encourage people to look it up themselves. It came out in 2016. It's called "Catholic Guilt: The Lying, Scheming Altar Boy Behind a Lurid Rape Case." So, without getting into too much graphic detail, a former altar boy accused several priests of very graphically abusing him. It was bizarre stuff. It was like they would make him get drunk on communion wine and then they would rape him, you know, immediately before or after a mass. Just totally wild stuff. And they offered a plea deal to the priest at the center of this where they said, you know, if he plead, he was very old. If you plead guilty, you won't get prison time. And he refused it, saying, "I am innocent and I will never confess to a crime I did not commit." So he is convicted, goes to prison, gets a treatable heart condition, which they refuse to allow him to get treated because he is imprisoned, and dies of this. And they also paid the boy in this case $20 million, some huge settlement. And that is still a law as far as it is. That man died a convict. I don't think he's ever been cleared posthumously or otherwise. The accuser lives in Florida, I believe, got very rich off of this. And what this article makes, I encourage people to read it in very strong detail. It's a very, very, very long article, is that this was obviously and spectacularly made up. This man, the accuser, had a history, had a criminal history, had a history of fabrications and lying. And it seems extremely clear that he took advantage of a moral frenzy, made up wild allegations, and people were just willing to endorse those.
So are we talking about...
If I remember...
Go ahead, Jack, please.
No, I was just going to say, one of the big issues, Blake, and I haven't, you know, read the article recently, but it was something about, like, he made a lot of very specific allegations early on, and then later when they went to, you know, and really just horrific stuff, and then when they went to actually check and, like, get him to, you know... The second round of questioning, all of the allegations started changing. Wasn't it something like that?
Yeah, and that's they'll do this where you'll have these shrinks who will come out and they'll say, "Well, actually, the contradictions in their story make it more likely that it's true, Charlie." They'll say that stuff. They would do that during Me Too. You'll remember.
So I'm just I want to make sure I understand. So in the Idaho bill, you might not know, is this child rape? Is this child sexual assault? Is this online pedophilic behavior? Because there's gradations
it's
to the evil.
It's lewd conduct with a child, so I think that wouldn't be child pornography.
Does that involve molestation?
It would have to be an action with a specific child and with aggravating circumstances, and it's under the age of 12. So this isn't even statutory.
I have no moral problem with death penalty.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Tyler?
Yeah.
I have, based on that criteria, I have no moral issue with...
For practical purposes, I would say I agree. I have no problem.
But the problem is we're
no
so...
Guilt.
We're
Charlie,
so
what does Genesis teach us about that?
Well, about the child dealing with children? Nothing necessarily specifically, but it does...
No, I mean the death penalty.
Yeah, I mean, it's a life for a life. It's in the Noahic covenant. It's very simple. That if you take life, you should have a life taken from you. Again, it's in all five books: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I said something on the show that wasn't necessarily true. I said it was the only law repeated five times. I think love your God, obviously love God is all five times repeated, but it is repeated five times, which is very unusual in all five books of the Torah, the main canon of the Old Testament. But
all the numerologists now are...
Yeah, but Jack, I want to ask you a question as our resident Catholic who's fasting for Lent. You can answer this honestly. Why are the Catholics, and I have such respect for Catholics, you know that, this is not like some sort of trick. Why are they so anti-death penalty? Where does that come from?
Yeah, well, so there's a you know, an urge, I think, to follow the words of Pope Francis as, you know, as basically covering all Catholics, and it's just not true, right? So there's a huge split within the Catholic Church.
Well, hold on, Jack. This is dogma before Francis, just so we're clear.
Yeah.
So
not dogma
because
before Francis.
It's not. Because prior to Francis, you even as recently as Pope Pius, where it was very clear on the death penalty, was saying that the death penalty exists not as essentially not as a revenge on the person, but because and not as the deprivation of life, but because the right to life has been lost by the person who took life in the first place. And you have popes very recently before Francis coming out and saying that there's just full-throated 100% support for, again, as we are, you know, caveating valid cases of using the death penalty. And so this really has been a huge shift that Francis had made. Now, other popes, as you say, prior to Francis had made some statements in that direction, but this has been a huge change by Pope Francis to be pushing this major anti-death penalty status. And so you will really find a lot of Catholics, myself included, that are on both sides of that issue because there's been this huge shift. And obviously, by the way, you know, I don't think there's anyone who could say that if you look at church history that, oh yeah, the Catholic Church was always against the death penalty.
Well, no, I stand corrected.
There's a little
You're
bit
right.
of different history on that.
So I actually kind of fell for the up. I thought it was dogma because of how widespread the belief is. Now, Blake, a lot of major bishops are anti-death penalty. Mm-hmm. It's within kind of Catholic culture, but it's not dogma like abortion is dogma. Is that correct?
Even abortion.
I think abortion
dogma
is dogma, though,
probably,
right?
I just want to be careful with you.
Well, I think you're
the
referring
word
to
dogma.
Canon law.
You'll hear
right?
dogma used a lot more in description for like beliefs, kind of spiritual
the
beliefs.
Sanctity of life, though, is like an immovable tenet.
You'll
of
usually
the
hear dogma mentioned, like the Immaculate Conception is a dogma of the Catholic
sure.
Church. Catholics
or
have to believe
that. Or
the
triune God.
Yes. And so. I don't want to be incorrect in the use of the word dogma. It is certainly a doctrine of the church. It has been a long time teaching of the church, like sanctity of life, for example.
Right.
The death penalty is now a doctrine of the church, but it is much more recent.
But it's not it hasn't reached dogma, right?
What I would say is the catechism of the church right now teaches that the death penalty is unacceptable, and you are supposed to believe the catechism of the Catholic Church.
But that's more than Francis. That's the whole gang that offers
so
that, right?
It is, but Francis is the one under whose pontificate that was upgraded.
Did he do an encyclical for this? Or was
John
this?
Paul II, for example, he said...
So the encyclical was John Paul II, and this was...
Gospel of
but
Life.
But again, as you say, the encyclical is so that, you know, kind of using that pro-life language to say that you know, we protect the innocent rights of the unborn as well as all life. And so it's sort of eroding that past support for the death penalty, which, as again, is very recent in church history. And clearly, if you look at the 2000 years of Catholic Church history, has a much longer standing than the current reading.
Yeah. So John Paul II, he disliked the death penalty. He wrote things saying it was bad, you know, not desirable.
Yes.
Benedict XVI, his successor, he called for abolishing the death penalty, which is entirely within his right to do so. And Pope Francis started with that, and then he has upgraded it to essentially saying a good Catholic should not support the death penalty. And bluntly,
this is 2018.
This is not new.
This
is a mistaken development of the church. And given that he's also been saying stuff about blessing gay unions
he's been totally off the reservation.
It is very
and defrocking amazing Catholic priests, right? Yeah. I mean, he's just going all over.
I don't want to get too deep into the Father Pavone thing. Sure. I don't know all
the
details.
No, there was
details,
another one
he defrocked
some guy
bishops.
In Tyler, Texas, too, right, Jack?
So this is Bishop Strickland. He was not defrocked. He was just, he was removed from his position as the bishop of Tyler, Texas. So he is still a bishop.
Defrocked means you are a layman. You are
Pavone,
not a priest.
You're laicized. Being laicized is big. It's really
so
big.
So what I will say, even if those of you that are in the audience against the death penalty, what I don't understand is committing your life to advocacy for people that have done really bad things and not giving a darn about people in the womb that have done nothing, that are completely innocent. That's the moral equivalency I've never understand. People say, well, how can you be against the death penalty, but also, I mean, in favor of death penalty, but also against abortion?
I always found that weird, and people use it like it was a strong argument.
I think it's one of the worst arguments, because the baby has done nothing.
Deep down, I think a lot of liberals see themselves in every vicious, like, murderer who has been sentenced to death, and so they sympathize with them quite openly, so
that's
why
really
would they
dark.
Not support them? Yeah, it's dark, but...
See, I don't see myself.
I don't, exactly.
In... these murderers.
And the idea that it's always just very difficult for me to imagine having too much sympathy for anyone where you could have done literally anything with your entire life and you chose to wantonly kill someone, prey on anyone, destroy a child's life. And so, that could be a follow-up to this, which is there anything else you would support the death penalty for? And
yes,
a lot of really predatory crimes.
I think defrauding thousands of people out of their life savings.
Yeah, mass fraud, which China executes people for this. If you engage in severe fraud or severe government misconduct of some egregious corruption, that, and then also even just something like really depraved forms of armed robbery or assault. If you could do anything with your life and you, like, there's people in cities who do carjackings and then, they shoot someone, or those guys who were driving that car in Vegas and they killed that cyclist by running him over.
I think they should get the death penalty.
Even if that man had lived, I think you could credibly say they would deserve the death penalty.
Yeah, no, in the strict biblical context, blood must be spilled for blood. If you talk in justice terms, that if a life is taken, there must be a life taken. Period. End of story. That you just can't just roll your eyes and say everything's just fine. You want to read Pope Pius here, Jack?
Yeah, because I think, again, this is the head of the church. This is the Pope in 1952, and he says so eloquently, it's the most eloquent quote I can find, summarizing basically what we're saying about the difference between these two types of individuals that we encounter in our societies. The innocence of a child, which obviously is what pedophilia defiles, right? It defiles the innocence of a child, so directly connected to this, versus a hardened murderer. And here's Pope Pius XII, and this is 1952. When it is a question of the execution of a condemned man, the state does not dispose of the individual's right to life. In this case, it is reserved to the public power to deprive the condemned person of the enjoyment of life in expiation of his crime, when by his crime he has already disposed himself of his right to life.
Any final thoughts before we get to the next topic?
Not really, actually.
Tyler, do you
want to
chime in on this? What is the...
I'm not super passionate either way about the death penalty itself. I'm like, I think I agree with the sentiment that we're talking about.
I think you have to have caution.
There's reason to kill people, and there's reason to be careful about killing people. And so I think that's like... That's the happy. I feel really good about the political context of the Idaho thing. I think we should have a couple.
100%.
I've always been a big believer. Like, you need a couple Ron Pauls in Congress. We need a couple of really crazy states in these, United States to be like, we're going to do some really crazy stuff, and that's going to balance out. It's like we should be negotiating from 100%. As extreme as possible. Idaho is so deep red. We need them to do stuff like this. So then maybe we'll take pedophilia more seriously.
Look, and here's the thing.
In California and Arizona and everywhere else, because we have the left, the radical left, is trying to normalize pedophilia. So it's okay. It's to normalize killing people for pedophilia.
Russia doesn't have it, by the way. Russia does not have death penalty.
Oh, really?
A lot. Yeah. Very few places do. And what's funny is America...
They need people to work out.
America is a more democratic... It proves how America is a more democratic country, because if you poll on it, the death penalty is popular for murder in almost every country. And yet in Europe, no one has the death penalty. Almost no one does. Even though a lot of them would vote for it, elites just say, nope, we're not doing it.
And Belarus has the death penalty, and you know what they don't have? Pedophiles.
It is a deterrent, and I'll prove it to you. Not a study or an... It's very simple. If a society said, you will get the death penalty for robbery on every day but Thursday, what day would the robberies occur?
Friday, of course.
The people that
there'd still be people too dumb.
Wait, so there's...
But then they'll be killed. And then eventually behavioral patterns will be learned.
So Russia got rid of it in 1986.
Nathan Wade would try to say that, it was 1159, Your Honor, and...
No, and as far as other death penalties, I think what some of those guys did to Donald Trump, to use the instruments of government to destroy the constitutional order, that should be under consideration. Okay, let's talk about this. News headlines in recent weeks report that Mark Zuckerberg, who made his big tech billions by collecting data on your interactions, is building an apocalypse shelter. And while that is unsettling and eerie in of itself, Joe Biden gets involved too, and we all need to start paying attention. It's never a good sign when a president starts doomsday prepping. With a close to 90% of pharmaceuticals in the U.S. produced outside of the U.S., what happens when the next global crisis strikes? Well, we want to remind you about the Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit. It is incredible. I got roasted in my emails because we did a whole antibiotic thing, and then we promote antibiotics on here. I want to be very clear. Antibiotics have a role. They are an amazing breakthrough. But like all things, you can overuse them. Okay, so someone was like, Charlie, you're antibiotics. We never said that, right? Okay, but if you want life-saving ivermectin, which saved Tyler's life, it's 8 life-saving potential medications, amoxicillin, Z-Pak, ivermectin, so you can rest easy knowing that you have emergency meds on hand, along with a guidebook for safe use. From tick bites to COVID to extreme bioterror events, every scenario is covered. Go to twc.health/CJ. I get asked all the time, Charlie, how do I get ivermectin? Charlie, how do I get these meds? Well, here's a way you could do it. It's twc.health/CJ. It's code CJ. Saves 10% at checkout. Don't wait until you need it. Take control of your health today with the Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit. Kits are only available in the USA. Jack, do you want to riff on this for a second?
Yeah, we were on travel a couple of weeks ago, and actually, I think it was when we were in Vegas, and we all got sick out there.
We all got poisoned. You know, by the way, I didn't just get sick. I got some sort of weird bioterror thing.
No, I remember. Like when people are saying, "Oh, Charlie's not gonna be on the show or something," I was like, "What?
Doesn't
like,
happen.
Dude's a machine. Like, yeah. It does not happen. It's like it couldn't compute in my mind.
This thing tuned to like.
Yeah, it was like it would be like saying that like there's no air outside or something. Like, what do you
no,
mean?
No, it would be like Cal Ripken Jr. not showing up. You not know, showing to up play for the
yeah,
Orioles.
Yeah, seriously.
Right.
And it was yeah. And so when we got back though, what was amazing for me was that my first emergency medical kit from the Wellness Company was waiting for me right on the doorstep. We just, just come in literally, the delivery truck had just been there right before I got back from the airport. And I was like, boom, I just grabbed that thing and I snatched it up in my hand and I opened it and I was like, oh my gosh, it's everything that I need. And, take the whole bit of what it is aside from you. It is so hard in this day and age, we talk about, we're the most advanced country. We're obviously going to be talking about that in a later segment. But it's such a pain to get basic medication in this country because you have to go to urgent care and then you have to wait in the waiting line and then you have to get checked. And then, or if you want to go to your PCP, you've got to get an appointment and then you got to go to CVS or Walgreens, wherever it is. And you got your prescription. No, none of that. Wellness Company, boom, there it is. You got it. It's on the shelf for when you need it. Or in my case, it was waiting for me literally on my doorstep when I got home from the airport. And now I know that if I ever have a situation like that again or I ever don't feel well, boom, I just go right to it and it's there. I've been talking to them about getting some of the other kits because they have they actually have a travel kit. That's something that I want to get. And they've been great. They've just been really great.
Okay, it's twc.health/CJ. Jack, I totally agree. And by the way, it's just good to have on hand, everybody. Don't abuse the antibiotics. Talk to doctors. Get proper guidance. So check it out, twc.health/CJ.
I looked this up, yeah. Charlie. I didn't realize this, Jack. The last time that in Belarus they used capital execution here was in 2019, and it was by firearm.
Yeah, that's how you should. By the way, this is my other problem with death penalty. It takes too long, too many
too
appeals.
Expensive.
It should be public. It should be quick. It should be televised.
Well, this can't be right, can it? The last execution in France was guillotine in 1977.
100% true. They used the guillotine.
Until 77?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
There's videotape of it.
Honestly, that's like what we should be doing. And I agree. It should be public
and
should
televised.
Be public square.
By the way, you could
force
fund the government
to watch it.
You could have like brought to you by Coca-Cola. And no, I'm not kidding. By the way, I would totally tune in to see some pedo get their head chopped off. Convicted by a jury
by
or
the way,
peers.
That's going to get
no,
caught.
No, I'm talking about a real thing. I'm not talking
all
about
all executions in Belarus are by firearm. That's not a choice or anything.
Andrew's saying don't make kids watch it. And I think, no, the absolute opposite.
I think at a certain age, it's an initiation.
16, if you can drive, you can watch it.
No, but hold on.
Not even 16.
If all of a sudden you look at some of these savages, like in Indiana, there was this guy that went in and killed a pregnant woman and her 3 kids.
Yeah.
And you know what? I want to watch that execution. That'll make my day better. I want to see him on a public block and get him be publicly executed. And I think that would be justice. You think children should have, you should see it? What is the age? At what age should you start to see public executions?
16.
I think you could do it earlier. I think you maybe at age 12, whenever, like sixth grade or so. You are a person, you know, they're old enough to, you don't need to like really wallow in it and have them be broken on a wheel or anything. But if it was something like chopping, you know, if we had a guillotine or something.
I think it's the age where they can't be, you know, I think there's too early and you become desensitized to maybe like this. I think it's when you can actually embrace.
But it should also be taken meaning, in a holy way.
The meaning.
I don't mean holy in a bad way. I mean that like this is heavy. Like,
bluntly, we have kids who are 14 who are committing carjackings 100%. In cities and doing
yes.
bad stuff. And I think if you sent the message to them, if you do a bad crime, you will die, and it will be like this, and that will be you.
But I think it
would be a positive message.
So my argument would be younger people get involved with that because they're around older people who do those things.
I want you to imagine every day, all of a sudden they said, and today, remember that awful five, you know, the guy that went and shot up a school? Yeah. Because, you know, left hates school shooters, and so do we, but they focus on the gun. I think they're evil. So, you know, you take one of these school shooters, and they say, today we're going to publicly execute this person, and
about
they read off
the Super Bowl.
No, yeah, or the shooters at the Super Bowl thing, and you read off what they did.
Great,
and you don't celebrate it. You know, you just say, look, this is what they did, and if you do this, this will be your fate. Ready, set, go, boom, end of life, and say
guillotine.
And I just
Scared
a question.
Straight used to be a whole TV show. No, but like, this is Scared question, Straight for everybody.
Here's a question for anyone that might be, you know, not persuaded. Would crime go up or down?
It would go way down.
Done. So that why is this even a question?
Well, they'll say it's not a deterrent, and it's not because
of course it's a deterrent.
And our current system is just as dumb as it could possibly be.
You get a last meal. No, they should make you eat bran.
It's only done for a tiny minority of even murderers. Only a handful of murderers actually get it, and then their odds of getting executed are very low. And it happens 25 years later. You have to run articles in the newspaper to remind people why this bad person was on death row in the first place.
I'm going to tell you, this is what's so frustrating about American culture. I mean, we took all the best parts of Greek culture and Roman culture and French culture and the Revolution and everything else, and we didn't keep this part. Like, we have the Colosseums for sports, but we don't have it for this. I totally agree with this sentiment. Is like we shouldn't make it like a celebration.
No, it should be a heavy thing.
It should be a heavy thing. It's corporal punishment.
By the way,
it's capital punishment.
By the way, well, there is a difference between corporal punishment and capital punishment. That's a totally separate conversation. But you know, the Singapore op.
Too.
Yeah, correct. That's what I was gonna say. If you really want a question about look, if you were a criminal and you were convicted and you were sentenced but you were given a choice, you're gonna say, all right, 20 years in jail or 20 lashes. What are you taking?
Yeah, and
you're taking the lashes. Everyone's going to take the lashes.
And just so everyone is clear, you know, this might sound crazy to some people. They, oh my goodness, if you commit what we would call a heinous crime, if you commit a crime against a human being and take their life, the current way that we do this is you get room and board and food for the remainder. Has that made society safer, lessened heinous crimes? Wouldn't it make sense to put the law, justice, on display for other people to see what happens when you do these things?
Yeah.
I totally agree with Jack on the lashing part too. Like the
flogging?
Corporal punishment.
That would be cheaper too. I think that would
Singapore punishment
would be cheaper. It would be faster.
Effective.
And it would be more effective.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think Donald Trump was spot on when he said drug dealers should get the death penalty. And he was attacked for that.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Okay. We all agree. Very normal mainstream opinions here, everybody. No thought. I don't even think these are thought crimes. Right. I don't know how anyone could possibly disagree with
that. No, but you look at, we brought up Jody Arias because we were talking about why Mormons kill like their families and stuff like that and all the stuff we were talking about. That
okay, all right.
There's a whole chat. There's like a whole line of like
we're talking about
Mormons
chat,
that go crazy.
Folks. We're talking about one here.
Yeah, not here. But Jody Arias, she was guilty. She's like literally on camera. This woman like has now developed an entire life and a lifestyle in prison, like with all these boyfriends and like book deals.
It's disgusting.
And like it's disgusting. Like she should be dead.
Yes.
She killed a guy in cold blood on camera. She admitted it later, and she just is like living a lifestyle in prison now.
And I will say this: my anti-death penalty impulse is also important to contribute. The only negative is if they would use it against people for political conservative crimes. Think about it. And they would. The regime
what about,
would.
What about Jeff Trussett?
That's why, I mean, that is why. Yes. We'll get to that in a second. That is why in the Constitution we have that strict definition
cruel
of treason.
Yes.
The strict definition of treason. You need two witnesses, and it only is levying war against the United States or giving aid and comfort to its enemies. They give that precise definition because in England they had the problem of that liberal use of treason where you're undermining the, you know, the body politic. That's treason. And then you execute them for that. And that's why there's a ban on bills of attainder because – for example, during the English Revolution against King Charles, they passed a bill of attainder and just executed a guy because they said basically he was a bad dude. And Parliament just said, we don't need a judge. We don't need a jury. We are the judge and jury, and your head's going off.
Okay, so let's get to the next topic here. So, Jack, this is kind of, you and I inspired
this. Speaking of people who need the death penalty.
No, I don't, well, some of the. Okay, so some of the.
Some of whom have already received.
Okay, I don't celebrate. Okay, for the record, I believe in a justice system. I believe in jury of your peers. I believe in a process. Okay? So, during the Super Bowl, I was a little triggered. Because it brought back memories to the theater people. And I'm curious, when you guys were growing up, was Wicked ever in your town performing when you guys were growing up? Did they come by here in Phoenix?
Oh, yeah.
Did they, Jack, was this, do you know what I'm talking about?
It wasn't when I was growing up, but a little bit later, yeah.
So they were huge in Chicago for like 2 years. Yep. And now if you don't know Wicked, it's like a spinoff of Wizard of Oz, and it's like a subtext story, right?
It's the prequel.
It's the prequel. And it's very theater culture. And so Jack and I have this theory, and I think it's a pretty good theory, isn't it, Jack? Which is
it's a great this, and I've said this before, so people remember I brought this up on Timcast like years ago. But
it's a four-step move that that led to some of the cultural decay that we're in. So fire defenses, everybody. Okay, Jack.
I actually have a setup to kind of explain this to people. But are we going to play the trailer? I think were we going to do that?
Yes, but then I want to go all the way back to how Zac Efron ruined America. So let's start with that.
Yes. So, okay. Basically, so Glee, Wicked, High School Musical all come out sort of in succession. Zac Efron sets up and by the way,
High School Musical changed it all. I have this whole theory, but
not,
keep going.
So here's the whole thing, right? Here's the whole thing. High School Musical isn't necessarily bad. I don't think there's anything bad with High School Musical.
No,
at
that's
all.
What's but so it was a genre. That's the point.
It started this new genre. And High School Musical, people have to remember, we're going way back here. This is the Bush era. So in the Bush era, social conservatism was like the you know, the rule of the land and social concern, and it got like to the point where wasn't John Ashcroft at one point was like trying to cover up the nipple on the statue of the Lady of Justice because it was like, oh, this is too lurid and we have to cover that up, and like this, it just went like super far in one direction, almost to the point of where we're stifling everything, we're going to cancel everything. So this is where, so High School Musical comes out in this era and theater culture, you know, really latches onto it. And then along comes a TV show called Glee. And a lot of people don't realize that Glee, which came out right around the same time that social media got launched, right around the same time that smartphones got launched, this is all ties together, a little website called Tumblr is involved in this. Glee originally was, and Charlie, this is where your point gets in, Glee was a satire of High School Musical. It was supposed to be a joke. It was supposed to be like a parody, like a Monty Python thing. But the problem was the fans, who were all millennials that are stuck at home because of the Great Recession, they can't get jobs and they're all in debt, they start watching Glee and they start falling in love with it and they start taking it a little bit too seriously. This becomes the plague ship for all identity politics and like, which later becomes wokeness, and all of this stuff goes back to that original Glee fandom, which was meant as a parody of High School Musical. And we have a huge piece written by Bill Harrell, edited by myself, humanevents.com. People can go check it out. I published it 2 years ago now, full 2 years ago. And I talked about all this on Timcast. And, you know, I got a lot of attacks for it. But, and because we say, I'm not saying that Glee invented wokeness. And this is what people need to understand. It's that it was theater culture plus identity politics plus social media plus Barack Obama getting into office plus the rise of smartphones and the economic depression because all the millennials' lives, you know, ended up sucking, which, by the way, is one of the songs in Glee, that suddenly it became this way to, like, relive your high school in a better way, a more fun way. And it basically spills over and leads to the point where it's kind of taking over society now.
Yeah, and it's interesting because what Wicked did, and again, just so everyone understands the four-part move here, High School Musical, Glee, Wicked, Frozen. We can get to that later. But it's like a four-part move here. And it got increasingly... Glee was definitely the most radical of them all as far as introducing some of these elements. And then there's also Cheer as well, which is kind of involved in this, which has its own issues. But, Jack, can you riff on theater culture? Again, I'm nothing against theater. I'm glad people are involved in theater. I'm glad they're involved in acting. But theater culture is very, very left-wing, is very, very, very woke.
So theater culture, again, you're talking about a culture where so we always say that, like, the left is people that are in touch with their emotions. And of course, in theater, you are called to emote. You are called to, you know, portray emotions, false emotions, performative emotions in a stage setting for an entertainment purpose. So for people who are empaths, people who are empathetic, you are drawn to theater. And particularly we're talking, and I want to be clear about this, we're particularly talking about actors and the people that are actually on screen or on stage, because traditionally it wasn't necessarily the people who were the directors, the producers, and the writers that were involved in this. They are now, I'm just saying, like, originally. Alfred Hitchcock actually has this famous statement that actors are cattle. And so you get these people who are just so sucked into the deconstruction of emotion, the deconstruction of narrative, in order to normally and nominally perform the construction of narrative. Then you get these wonderful stories when it's produced through the lens of a great director or a great writer. But then when you have theater people who start to create their own things, their own society, their own institutions, when they start getting involved in things like politics, when they start getting, and by the way, if you've ever known theater people, if you knew theater people at college or in high school, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. They need those directors. But you take the director out and you start having theater people directing other theater people, and the only thing that comes of it is absolute madness and sheer insanity. This is kind of where, like, you know, Ben Shapiro's famous aphorism of facts don't care about your feelings is actually kind of like a response to the fact that the feelings crowd has taken over everything and that we all lead with feelings now. That comes from the theater people. All right, this started with the theater people. This started with stuff like Glee and Wicked and Frozen and High School Musical and all of that kind of taking over society. And this is where you get, by the way, like a Jen Psaki who's making these references, and you get, people think, you know, for anybody who wants to say, like, oh, Posto is making this up or anything, I'm not reading the chat right now, but do you guys remember the Disinformation Governance Board? This board that was being set up.
Oh, she's a total theater person. Security, yeah.
Where
she's a theater
girl. She was singing theater songs, Nini Yankovic, and also participated in and created this, a Harry Potter musical act called The Moaning Myrtles, but at the same time was working for, at one point, the Ukrainian government directly as a quote-unquote disinformation researcher, which is just so amazing. Then she comes to the U.S. government, where she's focused on the Disinformation Governance Board, again, at the Department of Homeland Security, a law enforcement agency, where she's going to be coming after people like us. Then she, I believe she's currently, or last I checked, after she got fired because somebody, me, a couple years back, blew this entire thing up, blew the lid on the Disinformation Governance Board. Then she went to work for the British government, basically doing the same thing. She's worked for like all these different governments. And it's like there's this weird tie between like the national security state and the theater people, which produces a Nina Yankovic that somehow doing Harry Potter songs and comes from the Harry Potter fandom. So fandoms of things like fandoms of Glee, fandoms of Harry Potter, fandoms of the current fandom of Star Wars, example, just totally infested with identity politics, are now actually and quite literally taking over our national security agencies.
Jack, that was excellent. All right, let's get to grocery stores.
All right. All right.
So you want to start or can I give my take? Or you go. You
we'll
go
just
Blake.
Set up the context. Because
I am a grocery store aficionado. I do all the shopping for my family.
I'm a Russian really? Grocery store aficionado.
Oh, so was that a real picture of grocery stores? So let's talk about it. So Tucker goes and he does all these videos, and he says,
"Yeah, we'll set this up." So he goes to Russia to interview Vladimir Putin, and he does that. That's all great. We've talked about that. And then he also just stays around and he does some stuff on what life is like in Moscow, the Russian capital. And so he does one clip that's he goes to the Russian subway system, which at the least has more impressive stations than DC or New York does. We can get into the rest of it, but they are very nice looking stations. And then he also goes, he does a video where he visits a Russian grocery store, buys a bunch of food, and leaves with it. Do we have...
I have to pause you while I talked about one of our partners.
Oh.
Or else right. They will they'll throw the IRS at me because they have that power. Do you owe back taxes? Pandemic relief is now over. Along with hiring thousands of new agents and field officers, the IRS has kicked off 2024 by sending over 5 million pay-up letters to those who have unfiled tax returns or balances owed. Don't waive your rights. It's not funny, Andrew. Don't waive your rights. Guys, keep on chatting. I can't read this thing. And speak with them on your own. They are not your friends. Here's the thing. The IRS is targeting a lot of people. They're not targeting the billionaires or the oligarchs. They're targeting you. Here's a mistake a lot of people make. Oh, I can cut a deal with the IRS. How bad could they be? They lick their chops. They are trained to take advantage of you. They are not your friend. And once they get you on the phone, you're talking to a government agent. That means if you say one thing wrong, they could indict you. They could throw the Department of Justice on you. Do not talk to them, period. Instead, have the trusted experts talk to them for you. It's Tax Network USA, a trusted tax relief firm. They've saved over $1 billion in back taxes for their clients, and they can help you secure the best deal possible. Whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, they can help you. Whether it is business or personal taxes, even if you have the means to pay you or you're on a fixed income, they can help you finally resolve your tax burdens. They're excellent. We had a great call with them recently. I was very impressed. Call 1-800-254-6000 for a private free consultation or visit TNUSA.com/Charlie. That's Tax Network USA code Charlie, TNUSA.com/Charlie. Dennis Prager and I had an onboarding call with them. Very impressive folks. They get it. They're there to fight for you. TNUSA.com/Charlie, TNUSA.com/Charlie. Okay.
So we do have the video. So we'll open with that. So this is Tucker Carlson going to a Russian grocery store. Let's play 138.
I went from amused to legitimately angry. So we were guessing what this would cost. Everybody hears from the United States buys groceries, and we didn't pay any attention to costs as we were just putting in the cart what we would actually eat over a week. And we all came in around $400. It was $104 US here. And that's when you start to realize that ideology maybe doesn't matter as much as you thought, corruption. If you take people's standard of living and you tank it through filth and crime and inflation, and they literally can't buy the groceries they want, at that point, maybe it matters less what you say or whether you're a good person or a bad person. You're wrecking people's lives in their country, and that's what our leaders have done to us. And coming to a Russian grocery store, the heart of evil, and seeing what things cost and how people live, it will radicalize you against our leaders. That's how I feel anyway, radicalized. We're not making any of this up, by the way, at all.
So Tyler, you've spent time in Russia. You speak Russian.
So to be fair, I lived in Russia you know, a while ago. So things have maybe gotten a little bit better in some of these places. I don't believe they have because I have friends that are still
What years exactly?
Until 2007.
Okay.
So 2007. So it's been a little bit. So to be fair, you know, there's been a little bit more development in Russia since then. But the life, I'll say this, and Jack will probably agree with this, the lifestyle in the Moscow region versus the rest of the entire massive country.
It's a European city versus a third world country.
It's like a real city that's like a like an American city in Moscow. Everywhere else outside of, in St. Petersburg too, Petersburg. But outside of that, everything south and east of Moscow is very not fun.
Yeah,
and by the way, you were in the Donbas region, which is like the Russian side of where the war is being fought right now.
Yeah, on the slightly less dangerous side right now of that whole thing. Yeah, so in Rostov,
you know, until they start taking some
NATO makes their move. NATO will make their move across the river. But Rostov, third largest city in Russia, I live there. And the grocery stores, they have some bigger grocery stores. There's a couple big ones that are kind of well known. They're like a Walmart. They have a couple of them, very few. But most of the markets that you go to that most people shop in, and there's one big, the biggest one that's in Russia is called Magnit. It's called like Magnit. And this is a very scary place. If you walked in as an American, you would be like, this is all you've got? This is a great selection of juice. I'll say this because of vodka, great selection of juice. They have really great juices. Outside of that, your selections are very limited. So, yeah, things are cheaper. But well, it's not like when a Russian comes to America and they go through our supermarkets everywhere, like in the middle of nowhere, they're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you have all this food. How do people eat through all this much food?
Yeah, I think Angela makes a really good point, though, because some people think, though, and I think the video is very powerful in this regard, that Russia still has bread lines and they're this impoverished, just like dictatorial
country. But they kind of do outside of Moscow. Because there's so many people on pensions there.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that almost everyone's on the government dole in the Moscow, or they're connected through some oligarch.
Not Moscow. Well, Moscow's like normal life. Everywhere outside of Moscow and St. Petersburg is like completely dependent on the pension system.
Let me explain what producer Angelo was trying to say here, is that his point was that to a lot of the audience, so a lot of people remember sort of to an older audience out there, and they remember when they hear Moscow, they think Soviet Union, and they think of bread lines, and they think of what life was like during that time, and they remember the old Yeltsin video where he came to the U.S. and Tyler, that's kind of what you're referring to, when he comes to the U.S. in like the early 90s, and he has this, wow, look at a supermarket, I forget where he is. But he's, you know, it's this famous video of him, you know, walking around in a U.S. supermarket.
He was in Harlem.
And
he was like, Harlem was really bad.
It was a Houston supermarket, I believe. It was the famous one.
And then, And so it's like, and so what producer Angelo is saying, he's just sending a message in the chat, is that, you know, perhaps what Tucker's doing is kind of not pushing back, but just kind of updating people's frame on where things stand. Because, you know, like Tyler, you were there as a spy, obviously, in 2007. But, you know, for other people, they just remember the Cold War era. And that's kind of all they know.
So Tucker does have an interesting point that the groceries cost less, but Americans earn more than the average Russian does.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Groceries cost less. I've been to Cuba, and they were cheaper in Cuba, too. But it was not necessarily, don't go to a Cuban supermarket. It's really bad.
Yeah, no, we did a whole video, by the way, when we sent a team down to Cuba, and went very viral.
You know, food prices are one of those things that scales very closely to the overall standard of living in your country. This has been pointed out by people. The average Russian spends a higher percentage of their income on food than the average, did I say the average American? The average Russian spends more of their money on food than the average American, by quite a bit, it seems. I think Americans spend the least share of their income on food of any country. Whatever our problems, access to calories is not one of them.
Hold on, so Jack or, you know, first of all,
I'd say housing is cheaper, though.
Tyler's not a spy, just for the record. Tyler went on a mission to Russia.
A special mission.
I used to talk at my watch. I would ride on the train.
Sent?
No one ever says spies go on missions.
I would ride on the train, and I would just randomly start talking into my shoe and, like, into my watch and, like, just freak all the old people out.
Yeah, that's a good way to get yourself reported to the KGB.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I for sure did.
So Jack, is the quality of food better?
It was an LDS mission, all right. You know, people are asking the chat, like, it was an LDS mission, and he did his years in Russia.
What?
Not Orlando, like the musical.
Is the quality of food better in Russia?
So I've spent time in Belarus, which is, you know, where Tanya's from, everybody knows. And, you know, obviously a lot of economic times with Russia there. And the quality of the food, which by the way, isn't necessarily just an Eastern European thing. It's all of Europe is like this. The food is so much better, so much more nutritious, and so much more alive and nutrient rich than anything you'll find in America outside of, like, you know, farm to table. When we say farm to table, they just call that food in all of Europe. They're like, yeah, that's food. Like, even if you're in Poland, it's, you know, I go spend time with my Polish relatives, and they'll say, you know, where did these eggs come from? They're like, see those chickens across the street? That's where the eggs came from. You know, see that cow down the lane? That's where the milk you're drinking came from. You know, and this is just super normal. And the fact that we have so much fake food, or like when Tanya's family comes to visit, even her father, Willie, he sees American food and he's like, not all of it, but a lot of it. And he's like, this stuff is plastic. This stuff doesn't taste real. It doesn't taste like it's got nutrients. And if you've never been to, you know, Europe and just any part of it, you know, even, you know, Western Europe is definitely obviously more expensive than anything that you're going to see east of Berlin. But even in, like, quote unquote, cheaper Eastern European areas, you know, the food you're going to get is so much more healthy, so much more nutrient rich. And you're going to say, wow, I've never tasted bread before. I've never tasted steak before. I've never tasted. I was in Belgrade, in last year. And, you know, I had this steak was just. Blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind.
The Twitter did have community notes where they said over 60% of Russians spend half of their salary on food, according to Russia's state-owned news agency. The average wage in Russia was 73,000 rubles per month, which is $791 a month with today's exchange rate.
Yeah,
that's also a big part of this is that due to U.S. sanctions on Russia, the value of the ruble versus the U.S. dollar has gotten really crazy just in the last couple of years. And so that does mean if you are a tourist from America going to Russia, the buying power of your dollar is really, really strong. And that is going to make the price seem really jarring in comparison. But that's not necessarily the best reflection on is Russia better or worse than America.
I'll never forget my first day in Novocherkassk when I first got there. This was a place that was famous in because there was like this big like murder scene that happened in Novocherkassk. No one ever remembers, but you can Google and find it out. So I go to the bazaar with this guy, Valery Grigorovich. He's missing three fingers. Who knows why? And we're like, we're going to buy something so we can barbecue it. And I was like, okay, maybe like a chicken. And it's a bazaar, right? So you're walking through the market and there's like hanging animals everywhere, like meat. And I'm like thinking, oh, we'll go buy beef. You know, there's cow. No, none of that. There's all these rats hanging by their tails. They're called nutria. They're like a water rat, like almost like a. I put it in the chat. You can look. They have
it's like
big,
a beaver
nasty,
with a rat's tail instead of the.
Yeah, it's definitely a rodent thing. For sure. And
they're an invasive species.
We have them
in the Chesapeake area, and they're an invasive species. It's 100% legal to kill them. If you see them, they're just disgusting rodents, basically parasites.
They're like giant rat you'd have to kill in a video game in the first level.
They're huge.
For no experience points.
They're huge.
Yeah, exactly.
That was my first meal in Russia.
Tyler's XP is Tyler's very OP.
What was your second meal in Russia?
After my second meal in Russia was probably a sandwich made of hot dogs and shredded carrots and a lot of mayonnaise. That's like their sandwich. Jack, have you ever had one of those, Jack? A butterbrod?
You know, I will interject here, and people say, I understand.
It's like the open face sandwich.
It's the open face sandwich. It's shredded carrots, Korean sweet carrots over hot dog, just on like a flat open sandwich. It's not good. It's an acquired
taste.
I've
had different stuff. No, not like that, though. You know, no, I've had different stuff.
I got to take you guys.
So are you going to defend American food here?
Yeah. No. Guys, we have barbecue in America. It's really good. And I think it's really easy for people to say, oh, I go to other countries and the food is better. Well, you usually go to other countries on vacation.
Well,
and
hold
so
on.
You eat at nice restaurants, or you go to a country that's poor enough that people have to cook all the time. And so they get good at cooking.
So
both of those things will mean the meals are better.
The everyday food in Italy is objectively healthier than here.
Okay, but Italy is Italy. Italy's famous.
And Japan.
Japan is pretty good.
Also famous.
What the average person,
I just named
also
what,
famous.
But what the average person
countries.
Eats in Japan day to day is really boring.
And it's good for you. They have kimchi.
It's good
they have,
for you. Kimchi's Korean.
But kimchi's Korean.
Yes, but Japanese have NATO. NATO, that's right. They have a lot of soybeans.
NATO. We're pulling out of NATO. NATO.
But... You know, it's if you look at the countries with heart disease is the number one killer of Americans.
The countries because we love to eat. It's
with
great.
The three lowest heart disease, though, are Japan, Korea, and France.
There's no way Russia's at the top of that list.
It's Japan, Korea, and France are the three lowest heart disease. But so if you look at, for example, Blake, I think you would agree. If you went to, you know, the Blue Zone?
Do
you know
Do you know that a lot of Blue Zones are fake?
Well, the Blue Zone.
I'm going to mess with you.
Fake?
No, well, so for example, the part of Italy that has the highest, longest-lived people was Sardinia.
Explain what Blue Zones are.
So, okay. I'll explain this. Blue Zones, for those who don't know,
they're real.
They like to people research, longevity researchers, health researchers.
I wrote a whole book on it.
They look for places where people live the longest because we could learn, you know, how do we live longer ourselves?
Yes.
And so they find places that have a very large percentage of people relatively who live to be 100 or older. And some examples of blue zones are Sardinia. That's an island owned by Italy.
Costa Rica.
Okinawa.
Icaria.
An island owned by Japan.
Icaria, Greece.
Several places, some towns in California that have a lot of Seventh-day Adventists have a high rate. And so they study these. And what's interesting is some of them seem to be real. I think the Seventh-day Adventist towns, it's a lot of Asians who follow healthy living as part of what the Seventh-day Adventists teach. They live a long time. But some of them are interesting because, for example, there's a lot of reason to believe that the high rate of centenarians in Sardinia might be less that they live really healthy lives and more that the rural areas of Italy never quite hit the Industrial Revolution, and so they don't have good record keeping. And so a lot of people, they believe... are doing pension scams
hold
in
on.
Sardinia.
That might be true, but Blake, there's an entire ring of islands in Greece that replicate that, and it's the Mediterranean diet. But you walk a lot.
I think it might be similar with those, which is we have fringe parts of not super industrialized European countries. European countries that are pretty nice, but then they have some fringe areas that aren't as developed or modernized. And so it's rural, not super developed islands in Greece, rural, super not developed islands in Italy, and then the most rural, less developed part of Japan.
Let me ask you a question.
They eat a lot of fish in both those places too.
So you'll defend American food. The average American who has a lot of corn in their diet, you think that's good versus an average European in either Switzerland,
it's not
Italy,
corn is not
France.
Great for you.
Okay, so you're agreeing with me. Corn is the number one agrarian-based product that Americans have on a daily basis.
But
number
that's
one.
That's just okay. We're eating
so
a grain
fish,
that's not
crying
as good
episode
for us.
Where Charlie
we're not eating,
we're
eating a grain
challenge.
That is less
impossible.
Healthy for us.
What?
I feel like when people say the food is better, they sort of mean on this abstract level that all of the foods are just
but they
a
have
step
different,
above.
They have different agricultural practices. They use less. They do not use tilling farming. They use less dyes and pesticides. I will say this. Ask anybody, and our emails will prove me right. Ask anybody that has a gluten intolerance whether or not they can eat the bread in Italy. And the answer is yes.
Actually, Italy has an exploding gluten intolerance rate. This is what's interesting. All of the problems
that's
we associate...
That's not the point.
No, but all of the problems we associate with, the U.S. is particularly unhealthy. It's not that we're unhealthy, everyone else is healthy.
Well, maybe there's something
it's
else causing the
we
gluten
are
intolerance.
Unhealthy,
like
and everyone is catching up with us. So everyone... Europe is as fat as we were 10 to 15 years ago. Europe is having an explosion of all these weird health problems we associate with the U.S. diet of, gluten intolerance,
it's an autoimmune
diabetes.
Issue that is obviously caused by other things. But Blake, you travel a lot. You can't objectively say that the mainline American diet is...
Oh, it's horrible.
We agree.
But
all
I think what a lot of it is America has this base tier of diet that a lot of people eat that is, we know it's trashy, and we just kind of eat it anyway.
But what you are saying, which is smart, is that if you're a tourist to America and you eat the best food we have to offer, our food can actually be very tasty and
our
good.
Our food is for like really a two-week tasty, period. And it can be really healthy, and okay, it's so still not expensive.
What in American fare can be, quote, really healthy?
I don't know. We're pretty good at making all sorts of like vegetable dishes, I think.
Or like steak would be the only answer I would take. If like a good like sirloin raised.
No one agrees on like what's healthy in the first place.
Well, we do. We think that like garbage.
You eat four different foods.
Correct.
Well,
yes.
Well, and to most be people fair, eat more.
It tends to work.
Charlie, I eat to eggs fair, occasionally.
To How be dare fair,
the one
poultry swindler.
The egg council got to me.
The one upper hand that America has on basically every other country is our beef.
100%. Beef is objectively great for you, by the way.
Yeah. Which is good for you, and we have lots of it. No other country has nearly.
It is the blessing capita. From the Lord. It's number one in the world. And Argentina is the second.
Yeah. We're very blessed that we have that in chicken? Our lifestyle.
Chicken's terrible for you.
How is chicken terrible for you?
Well, the chickens are
terrible for the chickens.
Okay. The way we do chicken is not good.
It's not good for the chickens.
What's it is. Industrial scale chicken raising.
Well, it's terrible for the chickens. I wouldn't want to be a chicken.
It's objectively not nutritious. It's full of garbage.
No,
they're not
great.
Free range.
No, chicken's great. Chicken is almost all protein. You just get skinless chicken breast, cook that. You just
So the nutrient profile of chicken is good. The way that we do chicken is really awful.
The European
Again,
chicken.
If you are a person inclined
the Mongolian
towards
chicken
softy
is a better chicken.
Animal hearts, you know, bleeding heart stuff.
No,
I
don't believe in animal rights. I believe in human flourishing. And I just think that eating like persuading yourself that you're eating like this,
you know, the traditional message of American prosperity was a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage, and America is the country that could put a chicken in every pot, and we made chicken so obnoxiously cheap that you can just eat it every day and it costs essentially nothing and it's great.
First of all, it hasn't been great.
The main sources that make American food bad, that make everyone fat, is our profusion of
carbohydrates.
Cheap carbs.
We agree. That is what America's most known for.
Yeah.
Other countries don't engage in cheap carbs like we do.
It's the
wheat,
you know,
barley,
our
oats,
worst
rye,
food,
corn.
Our worst food is like a Cheez-It. No offense if we have Cheez-Its as an advertiser, but like Cheez-Its and Oreos.
Oreo
and
is
Chips
actually
Ahoy.
The you know they ranked it as the most unhealthy thing you can eat.
Yeah, but it's vegan. I love vegans.
Is it really?
It is. It's because it's not real cream. It's like hydrogenated vegetable oil thing.
But it's all the dyes too. So
but what you are right about, Blake, which is important, and this I will yield to this. If you want to eat healthy in America, you can somewhat affordably.
Very affordable.
More so than almost any other country.
And I think America has a very strong food purity culture, which causes a lot of people to kind of go insane and think, I need to shop at one of only these two or three places or these restaurants. And if I don't do this, I will turn into this like land whale or a monster and I will die of heart disease. And no, it's kind of an 80-20 principle. Most of the really horrible stuff in American food, you can cut out pretty easily. Like, don't get addicted to bad carbs. That is the worst thing we have.
We agree.
Cheap carbs everywhere. Cut those out. You're going to be healthy. That is, I cut out a lot of bad carbs, and that is how I cut 100%. A ton of weight. And then I ate a bunch of the chicken you think is poison.
I think chicken can be fine as long as it's free range, not factory finished, high industrial steroid infused.
You know, I can buy a no sugar, like I can buy the healthy grade of peanut butter with no sugar added and all of that. And a container of it is still $3.99. And that's a very healthy food that's not available in Europe because they don't have peanut butter there for some reason.
True. They don't know the landmass.
Or beef.
Well, they could easily obtain peanut butter. They just don't eat it, really. They don't like it.
We have to go, everybody. Do you agree with Blake or I? I think American food is largely trash, with some exceptions.
I just think this is a moral thing. Everyone's decided, it's just everyone repeats it. And then they go on vacation and they like the food.
I got you to yield a couple points.
Can I just say one thing on this American food debate? Because even though American food may not be as healthy as it could be and should be and is in other places of the world, no one has the flavor options.
We have
all
diversity.
The options.
Like
and also,
diversity.
If you like foreign food, you can go buy it. There's going to be... I don't even know where it would be, but
go walk the
there's going to be a Russian grocery store, a German grocery store. There's an Asia Mart a mile away from here. And you can go to all those places and get their foods. And they're all still going to be really cheap.
We all agree. Corn is the problem.
You don't want Russian
corn
grocery
is a demon.
Stores
corn,
in your neighborhood.
Corn
okay.
is, if there was one thing to remove from the American diet, it's all forms of corn.
Remember,
high fructose corn syrup.
The Aztecs worshipped corn as a god, and then they also ate human beings for the nutrition.
Obviously a causation correlation. Speaking of, everybody, we got to go. Remember, take out corn of your diet and just remove all carbohydrates. You don't need them. Glucose is a scam. Power your body through ketogenic lifestyle. You'll be happier and more energy. See you next week. Till then, keep committing thought crimes.
Thought crime is death.